Episode 99, How Much is Enough?
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to another episode of the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
I'm Jill.
And we are excited to not just be coming at you on a podcast, but we are also recording this interview. We have recorded a couple for our YouTube channel, for our web show, if you will. And we're super excited about it. So if you are listening there, you get the raw, unedited version. And if you're listening in your normal podcast app, you'll get the clean version.
Well, they're both clean.
They're both clean.
Just one may have more mistakes than another.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
But we haven't messed up yet. So let's get into our sponsors before we do. Our first sponsor is Empower. It's an awesome mobile app jam-packed with features that make managing your money easier. Its budgeting feature allows you to set monthly and weekly spending limits, and it has an auto-save feature that analyzes your spending and transfers small amounts of money to savings that you won't even notice. So those are great, but there are actually two features that really set Empower apart from other apps. The first is its high-yield checking account, and the other is direct access to their financial coaches. You can text them any question, and they will answer during normal business hours. And I've tried it, and the answers are legit. So, and it's a real person, not a robot. And if you like the sound of that, go ahead and download Empower from the App Store and enter the offer code FRUGAL. F-R-U-G-A-L to get a $5 bonus when you reach your first savings goal.
Get at them goals, get that money. Also brought to you by Junk Drawers. That's right. All the junk drawers got together to remind us that they're still there. And also to inform us that junk is just a nicer word for trash. So basically it's a glorified trash drawer. Are you really going to use all those paper clips? Oh, and that battery with all the goo on it? Yeah, that's not going to work anymore. And yes, those pens without the caps are dried out. And no, you will never figure out what that tiny piece of plastic goes to. Let's face it, we're using a perfectly nice drawer to store our garbage in. Trash drawers, you can hide, but you can't run.
Ooh, that is so convicting.
Yes.
Girl. You really got to
deep,
me.
Deep gulp. Do you have trash drawers?
Yes, I do.
Garbage drawers,
right.
Dumpster fires in your cabinets.
Even when you're, so even as a minimalist-ish, I still have junk drawers. Mm-hmm. It's a fact of life. You just bring things in, you don't know where to put them, you put them in the junk drawer.
I think it's especially something that happens for parents. You know, like your kids are just handing you stuff and you're just picking stuff up off the floor.
And you don't have time
to
discern whether you need it or not. You're just like, stuff it in the drawer.
Yeah,
I can't
like,
handle it right now.
This might go in the trash, but let me put it in the place that it goes before it goes into the trash. Yeah,
the junk drawer. Yes. So real. So we all have that junk in our lives. But today's episode, we are talking about being grateful for all of the junk. And all of the good stuff and everything before it goes into the trash. So this is really the way that you can get control of your spending long term, I believe. Because it's one thing to save money, but to make this a lifestyle, and frugality is a lifestyle, wanting less is really the main goal. It's one of the reasons we enjoy the concept of minimalism. And we just haven't gotten around to talking to it. So I'm really excited to share how to be more content, how to be more grateful, how to incorporate these things into your life so that you can want less and ultimately spend less.
Yeah. I really liked this first article. It's from Moneying, and it talks about why being content is the most important aspect to getting at financial goals or just in life in general. And they have a quote kind of speaking to what you're saying, Jen. It in here where they say, when we're not content with what we have, it leads to spending more money. Mm-hmm. So you can see this direct correlation between contentment and financial freedom.
Yeah.
That if we are able to be content, we're less likely to continue to get ourselves into this financial rut or keep accumulating things, which is neither frugal nor minimalist.
Right. And it's not being content in that you're not striving to be better or to do more.
Yeah.
Or even striving for to have better things. Mm. That's not the point. The point in being content is to be present where you are. I think that's the most important concept of contentment, is being present and enjoying and being fulfilled by what's around you right now.
Mm. Yeah, that's such a good distinguishing feature. I also really like the way that this article starts out is with some of the things we often say to ourselves. And this really resonated with me. So I think it's worth repeating because this is what we're talking to, this thing inside of ourselves, this narrative that can run. So I really want to highlight this. A couple of things that this article says about what we say to ourselves is, if I only had made more money, I would be able to get on track financially. Or if I just had a bigger home, then I'd be more organized. Or if I had a nicer wardrobe, then I'd feel more confident in myself. Or if I could afford better groceries, then I could get healthy. Holy smokes. I think I've said every single one of those things.
And we've heard all of our friends in the Frugal Friends community also say things like this.
Yeah.
And so it's not like an isolated thing that if you're thinking these things, then you actually need these things to get where you are. It's just this mindset that culture is selling us. Mm-hmm. These are selling tactics. They're marketing tactics, but they're not true. They're not truth.
They're glorified excuses, really, to not do the thing, the next best thing with what we have right now. And I think one of the best mantras that helped me in that mindset and to kind of change my narrative is, what you do with little, you will do with much.
Yeah.
I think even when we made such a low amount of money, that to remember that really helped me, that I can start practicing now what will be when I hopefully make more money. So to speak to you, what you were saying, yes, I can still strive for that. I can still set goals, but I can also start now and I can practice things now that will only help me when I do get to that point where maybe I have a bigger house. Maybe I am in a better financial situation. Maybe I do have nicer clothes, but what am I doing with what I have right now?
Yeah. And I mean, one of the ways to practice that, which it's not in this article, but we'll get into more ways, but it's to be generous. Mm. I think we try to, when we are paying off debt, pause things like that because we're so intense. We want to finish it as quickly as possible so that we can be making more money and have more money to give.
Yeah.
But to consistently give,
yeah,
while you're trying to reach any financial goal is so important because it solidifies a mindset, and the mindset is more important than your actions.
Yeah.
And it cultivates this habit of giving so that when you have a small disposable income, you're giving small. But then when you have a larger income that's disposable, then you will already be groomed to give more.
If you're not exercising that muscle, then it's not going to be a strong muscle by the time you actually have the money to be able to give. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got to practice it with where we're at now. So the article also lists out some important pieces of how we can do this. How do we get at contentment in whatever life situation we're in? You want to kick us off, Jen?
Yeah. The first one is to write down your blessings. Mm. And we mentioned this in our self-care episode, but like, keeping track of the good things in your life, even if it's just 1, 2, 3 things a day, will help you focus on those things. Mm-hmm. And it will fight the mentality that I need this in order to be happy. I need this in order to be successful. because you'll be able to have this log of all the things in your life that are already making you happy, mm-hmm. that are already helping you be successful.
Another way that I like, because sometimes the word blessings may not resonate with every person. So this could also be keeping a gratitude journal. This could be tracking, the way that I like to phrase this, not that this is going to resonate with everybody, but is kindnesses. Mm-hmm. Where are the kindnesses in your life? And being able to recognize that, write them down, speak them out loud, verbalize it. However you want to describe this, it's a similar concept of noticing and paying attention to the good and taking note of it.
Yeah, I love that one.
The second one is live within your means. So rather than striving to get something that you cannot afford or to live outside your means, spend money you don't have, learn what it is to, where are my parameters? Where are my boundary lines right now? And how do I live within that currently? So maybe you want a bigger home, but you can't afford it right now. Or it would be really stretching your budget to do that thing. You'd be house poor. Okay, what does it look like to make the place you're living now fit your needs right now? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that could mean, I mean, right now, if you're watching us on YouTube, you see that we are recording in a nursery.
This is my office and Kai sleeps in my office. Thank you very much.
It is an office that Kai sleeps in, not a nursery that we record in.
Don't
my bad.
Mind all of the baby furniture and the tiny desk.
But this is living within your means and it's working. Mm-hmm. Like your baby's not in here right now. And so we're using it to record. So I think rather than looking at what does everybody else have, do they have a dedicated office that has all this cute, pretty stuff that they spend a ton of money on? Okay, maybe eventually that's something you can work towards, mm-hmm. Jen. But how do you make it work with where you're at currently?
That's such an important note because we can see on Facebook and Instagram other people being successful and think that they have all of these things to be successful.
Yeah.
And some of them do. Some of them are at the level where they can have dedicated studios and, hiring out for different services. But some of us are just recording on a tiny table in their nursery.
Mm-hmm. And some of us are recording in our closets at times.
Yeah. And everybody's at a different level. So don't let the filtered picture influence what you're thinking about yourself, mm-hmm. because your life isn't filtered. It's just real. So, and this, I mean, yeah. And one of the reasons we're putting more of our stuff on video and YouTube is because we want you to see what we're really like. Mm-hmm. And I did put on makeup for this. And I woke up and I saw Jill was wearing makeup.
I woke up like this.
And so, but yeah, I'm self-conscious when I'm not wearing makeup.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be honest about that.
Yeah.
So
I put on lipstick just for the camera.
Oh, I did not put on lipstick. I missed that one. Maybe for the next video.
But for the camera.
Right. So the last one on this list is one I'm super passionate about, and it is to simplify your life. Not just stuff. Simplifying your stuff can really help in lowering your spending, because instead of seeing a carefully curated hodgepodge of things that you would see at like a fancy restaurant and try to recreate at your home, to have a simple space with just a place for everything and everything in its place, it will keep you from trying to acquire more things to quote unquote complete the look. Mm-hmm. So that in itself, and then there's less visual stimulation, and that can aid in mental processing. Mm-hmm. It's not thought of like our surroundings, and we'll actually talk about more of this next week, how your surroundings affect what you do mentally and physically. But your physical surroundings are very important to the mental decisions that you make. Mm. And so simplifying your stuff, but also simplifying your schedule and simplifying your media consumption, social media, news, and just the things that you consume, just having them be simpler can give you less to process. Yeah. Therefore, you can process it better and be more content with it.
That's the thing. I think to make that connection between simplicity and contentment is a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't think we realize how much emotional and mental space our things take up when we think about them. And it's like, well, oh, then I need to get more to maintain this thing that I have or that thing. And I want this or I want that to make it look nicer. Whereas, and I would not have realized this unless I actually walked through the process. Many of you know, my husband and I live in 170 square feet. It's a camper. And so we've literally had to simplify because we wouldn't be able to fit everything in it. And I have had to practice over and over again not buying things because I simply couldn't. There's not space for it, which was a practice for me. Yes, I'm frugal, but I would still buy things. I would buy a dollar here, $2 there, 50 cents there. I loved yard sales. I still do, don't get me wrong, but I go to them less because I can't, I don't have the space for it. Mm-hmm. But what that did produce is contentment. I wouldn't have known that. It wasn't even that I was fully aiming at that. I've just realized that because I can't go purchase, I've become more satisfied with what I do have or more aware of what I do have to say, no, I don't need another planter. I have three planters that are beautiful for the plants that I have, and I don't have more space for plants. So that's it. Mm-hmm. I can't get any more. And yeah, not that I am perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Eric can chime in on that one, but it has led to contentment. So even taking this first step towards simplicity, just knowing that it can breed this, the more that we stretch that muscle can help. Just practicing some of these three things we just listed.
Yeah. And one thing of note, I think we need to stop purging and decluttering and then giving ourselves the excuse to purchase more.
Yeah.
That is a cycle we need to break. Mm-hmm. And I'm guilty of it. So that's why I'm verbalizing it, but actually living in the simplification after we create it and not going out and like buying something else to put in your closet because now you have the space for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at all this empty space that I'm not used to seeing. I got to fill it again.
So just be okay living with the gaps, living with the gaps in your home where things used to be. And living with empty drawers, living with space on the counters and in the closet, and don't try to fill things that can live with space.
Yeah, I love that. Living with the gaps where things used to be.
Yeah.
Man, that's something I'm going to ponder later.
Beautiful.
Just gold coming out of your mouth.
Our next article is from Chopra.com, and it is 25 simple ways to practice gratitude. So another thing that this article didn't mention, a way to contentment is through gratitude. And I loved this article because there was a bunch of small ways that maybe you wouldn't think about to practice gratitude. We all think about gratitude journals and writing stuff down, but there are so many day-to-day things that you can do in addition to that to just be a more grateful person, and that gratitude will result in contentment, whether you want it to or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they mentioned something before they got into, you know, the 25 ways to practice gratitude in their introduction. They talk about how the brain is like Velcro for negative and Teflon for positive, and how it takes a whole lot more positive things to help us towards gratitude, contentment, to really be able to focus on the fact that the positive is what's happening in our lives. You know, kind of like that concept of like you say one bad thing and that far outweighs like 25 compliments.
Of course.
Which that's an unfortunate thing, but it's helpful to know that so that we can be putting in more positive, or that we can be paying attention to the good, the kind, the worthwhile, the lovely, because that will help us to train to even focus on those things, maybe when there are a lot more negative things going on.
Yeah, we have to be intentional about creating positivity, especially for us. We're like not the bubbliest people. I mean, maybe I'll just speak for myself because you're looking at me like, no, girl, I mean, you don't know me.
No, you're right. We have fun, but yes, people call us cold-hearted sometimes. Or just me.
They say that about me to you. Yes. But so it has to be this intentional thing that I do to focus on positive and to be, if I value being servant-hearted or being generous, then those are the things I have to focus on doing. Mm. Does my schedule and do my daily actions reflect what I say I value? And I have to take an inventory of my day and make sure that that's how I'm living. And it doesn't always line up. A lot of days it doesn't. But I do sometimes just randomly, a time will come up where I can be grateful or do one of these things. And I'll have it in the back of my mind so I can act rather than just being not self-aware at all. And I wouldn't even think about it. So self-awareness is really important in this.
And the intentionality piece. But I do also want to say that that doesn't mean it takes a lot to make a big difference.
Yep.
So yes, we have to be intentional, but these are very small things that do make a big difference.
Yes.
So the first one on here, we're not going to go through all 25, but I did like the first one, which is send a text message. And I'll elaborate on that. Really, to say thank you to somebody or to encourage another person or for connection with another person, just to even say, hey, I'm thinking about you. On the days that I've done this, it makes such a big difference. Not just, so it's twofold, because number one, I've been intentional to think about somebody in a kind way and to remember and reflect upon what a great person they are, or to be grateful for something maybe that they've done for me or just an interaction that we've had. I don't know. But then also it's encouraging that person, which then causes usually a kind response back that can solidify that connection with that person. So that has tremendous impact, and it literally takes all of 30 seconds. And it's interesting. A lot of times I'll think about people. This is going to sound weird, but whatever. I'll think about people either while I'm driving or when I'm in the shower. Those are my reflection times. But unfortunately, two times when I can't send text messages, but what I've started to do is voice to text. So I can't, the shower, that's like iffy. That's not really going to happen. But if I'm in the car and I'm thinking about somebody, I could do voice to text and send that, you know, short little message to somebody. So yeah, sending all those things out and making note of it. What I think it does is it punctuates something for us to say, yeah, I thought about them. Then I send a text message that solidifies that thought or that idea for yourself and for the other person. So love that tip.
I'm so bad at that. I'll think about someone, and then for some reason, I just won't verbalize it or send the text.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because I don't think that they'll care what I have to say or anything. That's most commonly what I think my brain is saying.
Or I don't want to be vulnerable.
Right.
It's a vulnerable thing.
That too.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that I have to get over, is that like calling a friend or texting a friend I haven't seen in a while. I love getting those texts. So like, why wouldn't somebody else like to get them from me? But there's this block in my head that like says like, they're not going to care. Like, don't waste your time. And then I don't.
Yeah.
And, but it can do as much for the other person as it does for me.
Absolutely. What are some of your favorites on this list?
So this one has a weird title, but stick with me. It's try a body scan.
Yeah.
And so it's saying that
it's not weird. It's good. Like
move from your head to your toes and like thank your body for what it can do, which is a little woo woo. But like for me, I had an ice skating accident when I was in grade school, and it was a few millimeters off from slicing a ligament that would have caused me to lose my leg.
Holy smokes.
And so I am the worst at athletics. I'm a horrible runner.
Sports.
Sports are horrible. But every time I'm doing something hard that I don't want to be doing that I know is good for me, I think about my leg and how grateful I am to have my leg.
And that both legs.
Both legs. Yeah. Specifically the one I almost lost. Yeah. But I am grateful to have both legs.
Your left leg gets a lot more gratitude than your right leg.
Yeah. So it's thinking about that time in my life, and even when something is hard, being grateful for that part of my body, or being grateful for my eyes that they can look at a computer so I can do my work, and for my brain because I don't know how long I'll have it. That sounds like morbid, but I don't know how long I'll be mentally cognizant. So like having a brain to do what I do.
Oh, I fully expect to go crazy by 70. I mean, just look at me.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to have my eyes so I can be looking at you, girl.
Girl, you're turning this around. Yes. But yeah, so just thinking about the things that I do and thanking, being grateful that my body can do it even when it's hard.
Right. I mean, again, it's the things that we would normally take for granted that we want to be paying attention to and can make a huge difference in just our mental space that we're in. The next one that I like is run errands with gratitude.
I like this one too.
So basically what they're saying is when you're out and about, be aware of how you are approaching the situation that you're in and the people that you're encountering. And are you making it a good experience for yourself and other people, or are you making it miserable? We all know those people. We've seen it. We've either been the person on the other side of the miserable experience, or we've made it miserable, or we've seen it happen. Let's just try and make it a good experience. And granted, I'm preaching to myself on this one here too, but there are days where I feel that energy of just like, I'm good. I'm having fun. And I'm, and like, I'm going to be the best part of that cashier's day, and I'm going to make jokes, and we're going to just like have a good time. Then there's the days where I'm just like, this is the worst, and this person could not be going any slower. And like, I always choose the wrong line. How do I always choose the wrong line?
Me too. I always choose the wrong line.
But like, what if we could just slow down, look around us, laugh at the People magazines, and just enjoy ourselves and make it enjoyable for the other person? Like when I literally can think about those two experiences where it is all on me, whether it's a good or a bad experience. And the days that it's good and it's fun and it's lighthearted, my goodness, those are fantastic days. I don't want to sidestep the fact that, yeah, it depends on what's going on in our lives and the chemicals that are happening in our brains. And let's face it, what time of month it is. But if I'm aware of what's happening, there are choices that I can make in that situation of how I want that experience to go.
Yeah, definitely. Another one on this one that I really liked is write a thank you note. And this is also something I wish that I did more often. So I didn't realize the value of a thank you note until we were in Nashville. We were at Ramsey Solutions, and they were talking about how much they valued thank you notes there. And I had just finished hearing our friend Allison Baggerly from Inspired Budget. She wrote thank you notes to everybody who enrolls in her membership site.
Whoa.
And it's a lot of people. And I'm like, isn't there something better you can be doing with your time?
Yeah. Grossed out.
I was. And she was like, no. And then they're talking about thank you notes in Nashville. And I was just so convicted. And I was like, oh my gosh, those are so important to not just the person that receives them, because it will inevitably end up in the recycling bin, but...
Or the junk drawer,
but for the person sending it to take note of the magnitude of like what they have to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, in Allison's case, it like all of the people she had to be thankful for, and it puts things into perspective when you write it down how significant it is. And so, and I've always believed like a lot of things like thank you notes and prayer and stuff like that. It's less for who it's directed to and more for yourself, the person performing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was thank you note. That was my like big revelation.
Your aha thank moment. You notes. Yeah. One more on this list for me. And then we'll get into the next thing. Stop and smell the roses. Okay, I don't fully resonate with exactly the way that that's worded, but here's what it means for me, and I've noticed a big difference. I, as my friend Brittany Wrigley pointed out to me, apparently just like tiny things. Anything tiny, I appreciate. I mean, go figure, I live in a tiny home.
Your travel mugs are tiny,
everything's just tiny. Yeah. I just love tiny things. And I've realized within the past couple of years, tiny flowers just in the grass even or hidden within bushes or whatever, just these little tiny intricate delicate little guys, little babies and I will stop to notice them. What I will do is take photographs of them.
You literally did this last week. You made a tiny bouquet and you took a photograph of it.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yes. And there's so many life things that I've learned through this process too. It's just my own little fun thing. I'm not saying everybody has to do this. You can find your own thing. For me, this is what it is, just tiny things and stopping to pay attention to them and the intricacies within it. For me, I like to take a picture. Thank goodness I'm grateful for my phone that is able to kind of get these very close thoughts of tiny things. And I'm so grateful for my husband who lets me do this. Thank you, Eric Sirianni, for literally never giving me a hard time about like stopping when we're on a walk or trying to get somewhere, even sometimes like pulling off to the side of the road because they see something that I want to take a picture of. But yeah, noticing these little things has really helped me to pause and then notice other things as they happen. So that practice has stretched a muscle that I didn't even know I needed stretched and exercised.
Yeah.
I'll move off the muscle reference.
But you know what else is tiny and maybe seemingly insignificant, but
makes a big difference.
Makes a big difference in our week?
It's the Bill of the Week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo Bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi, Jen and Joe. This is Amarilla from Tampa, Florida. I have a good bill that was kind of a mistake, but a really exciting mistake. So I own my own business and I was putting to the side 1% of everything that I made. Last year, like mid-year, I started to put away 5% of everything I made. Well, me being me, did not update the spreadsheet to reflect that. So at the end of the year, what I thought was only $800 in profit turned into almost $2,000 in profit, and I was able to pay off my business credit card. So I now have a debt-free business, and it is one of my greatest accomplishments because everything that I now make, I get to keep. And then I get to pay off the rest of my bills. So yay for a mistake bill. Okay, bye.
Yes.
Yes, mistake bill. Amaryllis from Florida.
Yes.
First of all,
debt-free business
in Florida.
Hello. Just a little obsessed with Florida right now.
That's what I'm paying attention to.
But I'm obsessed with your debt-free business.
Yes.
Oh, that's so awesome. And to know that you like can write off business expenses if you have a small business. Mm-hmm. I just did our taxes. Well, we just went to have our taxes done. And knowing that like we have a small business and so many things can be written off, it's like everyone should have one of these.
It's also such a nice gift to give to yourself to put aside that money.
Yes.
And the mistake of not updating the spreadsheet, that's amazing. It's like finding money in your jean shorts when you pull them out the next season.
Yes.
That's my favorite.
Oh, that is it. That is it.
Yeah. But this was like done more intentionally than that. And it sounds like it's a lot more money than you might find in your, in the pockets of your
but
shorts.
If that is the money you are finding in your pockets, yes. Let's be friends. Yes. Be friends with
me. Anyhow, good job future thinking with your business and putting aside that money and now being debt free. I mean, it's what more could you ask for? Well done.
Yeah.
If you want to submit your bill of the week to us, if it's a mistake bill or it's a real bill or it's a bill, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Visit us at frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. Leave us a bill or listen to it. We'll be excited with you.
Yes.
And now it's time for Lightning Round.
Round today, we're going through things we're grateful for, because what else would we do for a lightning round on gratitude and contentment?
Practice gratitude.
Exactly. Jill, you're up first.
I am grateful for my home because I love it. It's perfect. And I'm practicing contentment right now in... It's tiny, but it's all that we need. And to have a space of our own is invaluable. And so for me, it sounds cliche, like my home, but it means so much more to me, especially having come from the different types of living situations we had. We moved into our camper directly from living with and taking care of my grandmother, which that was a privilege to be able to do, and I'm grateful that we did it. It did come with its sacrifices and its difficulties, though, of not having our own space, sharing a space with an elderly woman with Alzheimer's, and we didn't have any of our own plates, cups, forks, we kept everything of hers so that we could keep as much familiarity as possible for her as her memory declined. So again, glad that we were able to do it, but it has highlighted for me how amazing it is to have our own things, that I am able to use my own fork, and my own plates that I picked out and be in my own home. I love it. I'm so grateful. And I hope I don't lose that. I'm a year out from living with my grandmother, but I still feel that. Yeah. I still remember what that was like, and I'm grateful for my own space.
Yes. I am grateful for my family, which sounds cliche, but
But your baby cute.
I have a cute baby. I sometimes will try to work since I work from home, and it is impossible really to work with a 9-month-old just, you know, needing your attention all the time. And sometimes the thought will cross my mind and be like, oh, if I didn't have a kid, I could just work. And then immediately the second thought will be, but like, for what? What would be the point of doing this, like working from home and building this business? Like, what would be the point?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It puts it back into perspective of, like, this is why I'm doing this. And like my son and my husband are the reason that I'm, you know, that I have this business so my lifestyle can be flexible so I can spend as much time with them as possible. Because if given the choice between running my business 24/7 or just hanging out with my dudes, I would take my dudes every time.
My dudes. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm also grateful for the sun. For obvious reasons. I don't know that I need to elaborate on that. I mean, vitamin D, warmth, sunshine, growth, happiness.
Happiness.
Who doesn't like the sun?
Not me. I love it.
Skin cancer.
All right, next. I am grateful for also my job.
Yeah.
So I love what I do. I love writing. I love talking about personal finance. I love helping people. I am obsessed with what I do for a living.
Yeah.
I am generally obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I just get to talk about and write about personal finance all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I do it for work, and then I come here and I talk about it for like $3 an episode.
Yes. Referencing back to one of our side hustle episodes that is absolutely in the archives, where we mention how on average podcasters make about $3 an hour. Yeah. That's not even true. It's like less than that.
Yeah, it's like $3 an hour, but then also we have to split it. So it's like $1.50 an hour.
Which ends up actually being like $1.50 an episode, whatever. We're grateful to do this because genuinely like it.
Yes.
So we don't. Yeah, it's fine.
My job for granted. It's why I don't subscribe to the like FIRE movement, because I don't want to retire from this as long as my brain can do this. I want to put my hands to the computer and I want to write and I want to talk to people.
Yeah.
And when I feel bored of that, I'm going to put up a camera and start recording my face doing it and do it in a new way.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to get away from us. Essentially what she's saying.
Never.
So please tell us what you're grateful for, either on our YouTube channel, comment to the video, or tell us in our Frugal Friends community group on Facebook or wherever. Just get at us. Let's keep spreading the things that we are noticing as kindnesses in our lives, where the gratitude is, how we're getting at contentment, because it is one of the foundational pieces to frugality and realizing the financial goals that we have. So
yeah.
In addition to all this gratitude, we're going to heap on some more gratitude. We want to say thanks so much for listening. This is not getting old, that we're actually reaching people and people are listening to our voices. Like, I hope the novelty of that doesn't wear off.
I'm into it.
And we're grateful for all of your kind reviews like this one on iTunes, iTunes and Stitcher. I think this one's, I don't know where this one's from, but iTunes. Thank you. This one's from iTunes. It's from Perlary. And it says, easing about to graduate college anxiety. 5 stars. I'm a senior in college who comes from a low-income family that has never taught me anything about money. Thankfully, I'm graduating with a relatively low amount of loans. Woo woo! But I still wouldn't have known what to do with them after graduation if it wasn't for Jen and Jill. They're like the big sisters I've always wanted, teaching me to budget and be responsible before I make my more mistakes. Hello, credit card debt from the past 4 years. While not being judgy about the mistakes already made, they also helped me come to terms with the fact that I was never financially prepared by a family who I know loves me a lot. Taking responsibility of my finances has made the road to becoming an adult, whatever that means, much easier, especially when there's so much fun to listen to. Making difficult topics actually enjoyable to discuss. Thank you, guys. I can never recommend you enough.
Oh,
holy smokes.
I love that. I know the bill of the week is my favorite time of the week, but like reading these reviews is my second favorite time.
Like, and thank you so much for all the effort that you put into that review. You obviously, that wasn't just like love the podcast, which those are great too, especially if it's keep linked to 5 stars. Yeah. Keep doing that. But this is really meaningful, and we're so glad to be there for you and be your big sisters that you've never had. I love it.
I never had a big sister either. And so to be somebody's, aww, I'll take it.
I have a big sister. I am a big sister, but there's more room for you. There's
more room for sisters.
Come on, sister.
So we want to thank all of our listeners. And if you've already left a review, we want to thank you for sharing the episodes on social media as well. So on Instagram, Facebook, what have you. And so for this year, we're doing a giveaway for anybody that tags us in social media shares of this latest episode is going to be entered into a monthly drawing. We're going to give away a $10 Amazon gift card for every 5 tags or reviews we receive in the month.
Yes. So definitely keep leaving us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. They still do matter. We love them. Send us a screenshot of your review to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And it's just another way to enter to win that $10 Amazon gift card.
Yes.
Either by reviewing us and sending us an email or tagging us on social media.
Yes. Thank you so much. We will see you next week. We will literally see. Well, you will see us if you're on YouTube. Literally.
Bye.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni. How was that Thrice concert?
The Thrice concert was good. We stood for about 10 hours. So my lower back really hurts and my legs hurt and my arms feel like jelly. I don't know why. I don't remember doing anything with my arms.
Because you were just standing there for 10 hours.
Yeah, we had a really good time. But then when we left, we both said we felt like we worked like a 10-hour shift on our feet. And then we didn't get paid for it. So we were kind of like, we might as well.
You paid to be there, actually.
We paid to be there. We should have just like got behind the bar and tried to bartend while we were there.
Yes.
Make some cash if we're going to be standing already.
You remember when we were in college and like going to those shows was nothing. Like you just go to a show, stand for 10 hours and then like be so stoked about it. Yeah, no. If there are not chairs at the theater, I'm not going.
I still will go. I'm just going to pay the price for it. Also, I found myself for the first time in the middle of like a mosh pit. Which was a new experience for me. I was wearing flip-flops, so that was it felt dangerous. I felt like I was living on the edge.
I felt
but
dangerous.
I also learned. I was like, ooh, I can use my elbows and my arms, and like this big dude in front of me, and he's like pushing into me, and I got my arm out, and I'm like curling in my toes, knowing that like I am on the brink of losing a toenail, like pushing up against him. I'm like, I am 30 years old. Like, what is happening? If anybody who knows me right now were to see me and what I'm doing at this very moment, they'd be like, no way is she in the middle of a mosh pit right now, like pushing dudes, like big dudes, like out of her way. But yeah, it's that happened.
That's why your arms feel like jelly.
That's true. That's what I was doing with
I'm not
my
a
arms.
Doctor, but I think not that might doctor. Be it.
Yeah, Eric kept looking over like, are you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I got this. At one point, it did get a little intense. I'm like, my feet are not going to sustain this journey. We got to get out of here. And thankfully we did, because from the stage, Thrice announced that somebody got hit in the eye real bad. And I was like, yup, I saw the writing on the wall with that one.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm going to go get more coffee now.
You deserve it.